Part 5. Children. Chapter 13. In the Midst. Claire. Growing up, my father Joe was very strict. I do not remember having much of a childhood. I saw my friends having fun. I remember always having to be very responsible and mature. I always struggled just to remember all of the rules. As a teenager, I rebelled. I was a walking contradiction. I got A's, was a star of the volleyball team and softball team and cheerleader. I joined every club. Every weekend, I was drinking heavy. I did carry the family pride. People perceived me as together, smart, and capable. 10 years ago, I confronted my dad regarding his drinking. Liza says I was the family hero. I think that's good. If not good, then at least meaningful. Meaningful in that it is Liza's job to understand the dynamics of addiction and recovery in families. Living in this family is a more intense story. My outer shell of aloofness was hiding a very vulnerable adult child. I think Emma's grandmother, Liza, knows this. She seems to understand me very well, possibly better than I even understand myself. Life has taught her a lot. Once again, Liza and I are hugging and hoping that her son, my husband, Charlie, will mentally return to us and work a sobriety path in order to save his life. In a way, our paths together were understandable. Charlie's home was chaotic with little structure. Mine was the opposite. I was now rebelling against anything and everything, partying, drinking, and breaking all the rules. Anything that I was not supposed to do, I did. I met Charlie at a party. He was so much fun. He offered me a break from the stress of my life. I loved it. My parents put so much pressure on me. They wanted me to have a better life. To be perfect is stressful. Drinking gave me a freedom that I did not have in other areas of my life. I felt so free when I drank. Every single weekend I tried to drink, a break from all the pressures in my life. Charlie was just an added bonus. We could drink together and have fun. I felt safe and accepted unconditionally with Charlie. He was just simply a nice guy. Our relationship quickly accelerated. Wild and reckless, we clung together. I managed to make it through high school, partying every weekend. I even graduated with honors in my class. Charlie headed out for military time. I went to college. In college, I gained more independence and personal freedom, and my need to use alcohol lessened. Charlie was a different story. During and after his military service, his need for alcohol increased. Charlie soldiered in the Afghanistan War as an enlisted army medic. The experiences he was faced with there accelerated his drinking behavior. We began growing apart as his drinking and using began to increase. I was focused on my college degree in nursing. Charlie's interest was what substance he could use and abuse next. The worst part was he had no insight. Liza finally intervened and confronted Charlie, placing him in a military recovery program. I believe that only served to spoil his drinking. Charlie had no deep recovery commitment. We were on the verge of separation. One little test changed everything. I was pregnant. We discussed and debated what to do. The result was for us to get married. During that period of time, Charlie had completed his first round of treatment. He was stable and sober. I knew that our life would never be the same, but with Charlie sober, it appeared that we at least had something to build on. Charlie did not disappoint. While I was pregnant and even after Emma was born, Charlie was amazing. He worked hard to stay sober. He helped around the house and promised to be the dad he never had. A warrior is ready for change, for better or worse. On May 22, 2011, our lives were interrupted by the Joplin tornado. Charlie worked that disaster as a first responder. He witnessed massive death and destruction. As I look back, I can clearly see the post-traumatic stress that started creeping back into his life. Then it crept into our lives. My first priority was taking care of myself and our unborn child. As a first responder, Charlie was simply performing the duties of his job, but witnessing all that devastation was taking an extreme toll on him, first on his sleeping patterns, later on his daily thinking. He began to self-medicate with alcohol in order to deal with the nightmares and tormenting thoughts during the day. He needed to see a therapist. The reoccurring intrusive thoughts began to intensify as he started reliving his military deployment. He could not sleep. His drug of choice evolved to OxyContin, the same drug he had used when injured in Afghanistan. A huge problem. Opioids and alcohol were not a good plan. He was hiding his behavior from his mom. Then his dad died. When John died, Emma had just been born. I did not want to be left alone while Charlie traveled to attend his father's memorial. Hindsight is 20/20, and that was probably a bad choice on my part. In all fairness, Charlie's dad, John, was not a good man. He was an even worse father. John was a selfish addict and a drug dealer. It was to everyone's relief that he had continued his disastrous living far away in California. These statements do not belong solely to me. These are things that I have heard said by Charlie's own family, his uncle Jess and his mom Liza. Charlie took his father's death hard. The self-medicating was not working. There was no good result from the substances he tried. His fragile recovery was gone. Liza told me that in her heart, she knew the outpatient military addiction treatment had only spoiled the using, not stopped it. A head full of AA and a belly full of booze don't mix. It ruins your drinking. Liza said, the first three steps of AA have just not come alive for Charlie. He is weak. He is lost. He has no path. She lost me with that one, Claire thought. I totally do not understand. If I had not confronted my dad, Joe, when he was in jail, he would still be drunk today. Seriously, it is that simple. End of story. Gradually, the appearance and obviousness of Charlie's substance abuse became all too real. Confronting it was put on hold, though, as I gave birth to our child. I later became very concerned for the safety of Emma and myself. After consulting with Dad and Charlie's mom, I decided I needed to work an Al-Anon program and declare myself powerless over Charlie's addiction. Emma's arrival was the third and final trigger. There was the tornado, John's death, and a new baby. Everything changed when Emma arrived. I had a deep, vulnerable feeling for my child, a desire for her to have all the best in life. Those early days after Emma's birth were a long, hard blur. Just weeks after Emma was born, Charlie fell right back into his old habits. I did not fully understand his addiction. I just felt abandoned by him. I gained some clarity after speaking with Liza, and I began to better understand the progression of this disease. One day, I had finally had enough. We had so many fights, so many times, over and over, but nothing ever changed. So I left. I talked to my dad about our problems. I packed our stuff, grabbed Emma, and moved in with Dad. I had just taken a huge first step towards changing our lives for the better. So I thought. Actually, that is when things really ignited. Charlie came to my dad's house and confronted him. It got physical. Dad called the sheriff's department and reported the assault. Charlie jumped in his car and sped away. It was over 4 weeks later that I finally got any news about Charlie. He was in police custody and believed he was on a mission from the president. By that point, I was too exhausted to care.